Thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yes, indeed. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1912, William A. Bell and Kathleen M. Spurl Bell.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 16,025 square feet, more or less, lying southeast of Savannah Road, 250 feet northeast of Quaker Road, and 160 feet southwest of Woodland Avenue. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet on September 13th. Each commission member has received a copy of that. It contains a table of contents, project description, the conditional use application and site data, a copy of the current deed and tax summary information. There's a copy of a survey, a copy of the tax map, current zoning, the planning and zoning information sheet that our office provides, a map showing the surrounding zoning, copy of DelDOT's letters, letters of support for this application, and suggested proposed findings of facts. We received comments from DelDOT in the form of a service level request. They advise that a traffic impact study is not required. The existing level of service E will not change as a result of this application. Received comments from the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permits Division. The system design assumption for this site is one EDU. The site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area. Wastewater capacity is available if the proposed use does not exceed approximately one EDU. The planning and study and design assumption for this parcel is one EDU based on a residential use on a residentially zoned parcel of less than 1 acre. There is one system connection charge credit for the project. It's likely that additional system connection charges will be required. The rate for the system connection charges is $4,590 per EDU. This parcel was provided with a 6-inch sanitary sewer lateral located at the rear of the parcel along the parcel's frontage on First Street. Conformity to the West Rehoboth expansion area study will be required. And then they note on the site plan that the proposal is for an employee to occupy the existing office area within the existing dwelling. The office area shown on the applicant's floor plan is approximately 880 square feet, which will increase the EDU of the parcel to 1.88 EDUs total. The area is currently used as a home occupation office area, and conditional use approval is proposed to add an employee. The County Engineering Department recommends that the office area be limited to 880 total square feet, and a concept plan is not required for their review. That was signed by John Ashman, and that's all we received to date.
All right, sir, we thank you. Chair recognizes Ms. Gilmore.
Good evening, gentlemen. Let's get oriented here. My lovely engineering will be able to follow me.
Well, in a departure from protocol, you can just pull this up out there for us to see it, because it don't look like there's anybody else out there that cares.
If they're free to come up and look at it.
If they are, yeah. If there's anyone present who would like to get up and take a look at the exhibits, please do so quietly and without discussion.
Well, good evening. For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore. I'm here with the applicant, William Bell, to my right. And he is the owner of the property, and his wife, Kathy Spurl Bell, is a realtor as well. And they bought this property in 2010, have occupied it as their primary residence. The house, when they bought it, wasn't really a house. It was a garage. They kind of expanded it to what it is now. And I think they've done a really nice job with how it looks if you've seen it. But what they've done is they've incorporated a multi-purpose room that they use as their own home office. So right now it's a home occupation. They would like to add one staff person to help with the operation of the realty office. And so that's the reason why we're here, because in order to add the employee, they need the conditional use. As a part of the project description, this property is along the portion of Savannah Road where you see a lot of the doctor's offices and realty offices, insurance companies, banks. And as I said, the property is currently occupied by the applicants as their primary residence. Kathy Sprobel is a real estate agent licensed currently and has a license with Delaware Realty in Lewis. And her goal is just to allow for the one additional employee. That's it, not to expand, add other agents. Her current office is at 117 Savannah Road. So on the display, the anticipation is that the guests would come to the site through the current driveway off of Savannah Road. They have three proposed parking spaces where you can come in, you can back out, enter onto Savannah Road safely. They do have an added access off of the rear of the property where they can park their personal vehicles if they need extra spaces, and the employee could even park there as well. So right now, the dwelling is shown on the site plan that's in the file. Only the office is on the far left side of the property, of the current dwelling that's there. It has a separate entrance, separate access, so there's no concern that there could be a use of the full dwelling. It has its own area for entry and exit. It is consistent with surrounding uses. As I said, along this entire stretch of Savannah Road, we have many other conditional uses that have been approved. Within 500 feet, we have three B1 uses and several C1 uses at the Happy Harry's Windsor Landscaping or Gardening Center, all along that area. So we believe that this is a natural fit for that area. One of the concerns that I actually had the applicant address was some of the concerns that you will have is what are their hours of operation? They're proposing Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 5, on Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 6. One employee, and as I said, going over the site plan, five parking spaces is what they see. Most of the site visits with customers are not at this location. It's to show them property, so they'll meet off-site. So the employee is essentially there and them coming and going from their own residence. They do have automatic exterior lighting, so there's no concern with outdoor lighting and a concern with security, so they feel like it's well-lit. There is the separately metered electric service for their office, as well as the Sussex County sewer that's in place, and they currently have a well on site that will continue to serve the property. The expected client traffic is 0 to 3 visits per week, and the office is accessible to clients that have disabilities. The maximum occupancy at any one time, they feel, is between the three employees of the company plus five staff, two clients potentially. So you'd have five people at any one time. They would like a sign as permitted by the code in the front of the property. Nothing fancy, just to know for people to know where they are. The property is in the environmentally sensitive developing area, and we feel it's a natural fit to the comprehensive plan. And we've met the requirements of that. The submission packet that we had submitted does include some of the photographs, which you would just see. The cars can actually park on the site in the parking area that's there. And we had three letters in support, which are in the file. One from a current client, actually two current clients, and one from the actual employee that's proposed, Judy Robinson, and she's anxious to work there and work from that site.
So this employee is currently not working there?
She was working with the RE/MAX office over on Highway 1 and has recently taken a position with them. So
I appreciate the fact that you didn't wait until you were violated to come in and, come in and chat with us.
Right. So that is our application. If you have any questions, we'll feel free to take them.
All righty. Well, we'll find out, and we're going to start with Mr. Burton.
Thank you. Shane, can you review the EDU thing again? Are you seeing that we're over now?
They're basically saying if it's, they have no objection if the office is limited to 880 square feet.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's, right now, the area that they plan to use. Let me flip over my fancy drawing here. We have the floor plan. So this back area is a foyer. So you come into the building and either go into the residence or go into that foyer. This area that they'll occupy as the office is actually 684 square feet. So if you count the foyer, it's the 880. Rob Davis actually called me from sewer engineering, wanted some more information, which I gave to him yesterday. So,
yeah, they've approved the one EDU.
There's one EDU, and if it's based on the floor plan, that would add approximately 880 square feet, and that would up the EDU total to 1.88.
But they're currently connected, so they've already been counted into the sewer district with one.
So where do we get the 1.88 from? Under this existing floor plan or
yes.
Another? Okay.
Under this one.
Sorry, okay. Okay, well that.
And then they recommended that the office be limited to that.
Well, we want it limited. Okay. We don't plan to expand. If there's an expansion, we'll be back on an amended conditional use because the use is going to have changed from what we presented tonight.
Okay. Well, that is the only question I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Well, I have a question. It's not for you, Mrs. Gilmore, but does that mean they're going to have to pay for 0.88 EDUs times $4,000?
I'm sure it does.
Once they assess it, you know, I'm not sure.
I haven't seen the letter, so I can't comment.
Would you like to see the letter?
I will get a copy of the letter.
Who would have received at 4:35?
Yeah.
I know. I talked to him on the phone, so I don't think they had enough time to put it together. So.
Yeah, I guess it would be 1.88, so that's the total EDU, so it would be assessed at 1.88. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's going to be when they come out and figure out what the assessment is, but that's what they're, you know, sort of estimating at this point.
What is the normal assessment for residence?
For a single family residence, it's one.
Yeah. Right?
And then it depends on what the use is as to how many EDUs are assessed. If it's an office, if it's a restaurant, you get into fixture counts and square footage. It just can depend on what it's used for. So.
All right, okay. Just curious.
And that assessment occurs at the point of occupancy? Or?
Yeah, I think that occurs at the point of the certificate of occupancy is issued. And they have the right to go out and inspect it, too, if they want.
So there's no exterior construction to take place? It's all interior?
It's all done.
Okay.
All there now.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Gilmore. Have you received any comments from the City of Lewis insofar as whether they're... I know you've got letters from the office manager and two clients. Has City of Lewis weighed in on this in any way?
No.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ross.
The sign that's currently there, is that going to be the same sign? Or are you planning on replacing that sign?
Perhaps Mr. Bell would like to come up and answer that question. You have to state your name and address for the record.
William Bell, 1504 Savannah Road. No, the sign that is currently there was just simply the construction sign that is temporary, and that just needs to be taken down. That was for while we were building the property, and we've now just recently finished.
Did you design those garage doors on that?
Yes, sir, I did.
It's very attractive. No
Thank
question
you.
About it. If the commission will indulge a little patience, I'm trying to understand these EDUs, and since we have such a crazy heavy schedule tonight, I just want to... So if the sewer district...
You know, we're not obligated to stay here until midnight.
I know we're not. We won't be that long. But I'm just trying to understand how this works. The sewer district has a certain capacity.
Right.
The county engineer says, here's how many EDUs we can handle in mass.
When it's designed,
and then
right,
they're allocated when we approve an application, whether it's a subdivision or business, whatever.
Or they establish a new sewer district for people. Yeah.
Right. But really, that's not a measurement of capacity usage. it's an allocation.
Well, the other way to do it would be to have it, well, you can't in the county because there's not, like some places do it based on water consumption. They figure out how much water goes in and then they have a multiplier and that's what they base the sewer on. You know, or you could have meter pits at every house or business or whatever else. With the EDUs, they try to come up with it's an equivalent dwelling unit. And they allocate that based on an average use for a house, and they figure out, you know, how that would.
Everybody pays the same thing.
Everybody pays the same, you know. And you have the right to, you know,
I don't have any issue with that. I mean, that's just as good a method as other, but what it points to is that since they don't establish the actual use until a certificate of occupancy, but they do the allocation based on the permission to build something, that you could have sewer capacity that goes unused for years.
Yeah, well, when they design, like this is part of the North Coastal Planning Area, I mean, they design it with capacity based on the presumed build-out of, you know, the whole.
But, I mean, what we've had happen before the commission, and I'm sure the council is the same thing, is we have applicants that come in and say, well, I'd love to have more EDUs, but the sewer district allocation is all used up, even though it's not really used up. They haven't got certificates of occupancy.
It's been theoretically allocated.
Theoretically. Yeah, so allocated, what happens is the district is negatively impacted. Somebody might be ready to build and can't because they're not being given EDUs.
Right.
Well, that's one of the key things we do in planning for an application is what capacity has already been granted to the site and what is potentially available.
But I mean, it artificially negatively impacts the sewer district if you're wanting more allocation and somebody's holding on to them, hoarding them, and not actually building them. And here's somebody else that actually wants to build and can't get them, and the district is having to foot the bill for this, the difference. And
well, there's variables to that, too, because you could have a big subdivision, and if it's an expansion of the sewer district or there's greater capacity that's required, they will require you to do system upgrades to handle that, too. So you won't be taking somebody else's potential capacity. You'll have to create your own within the district through system upgrades, whether they're pump stations downstream or the sewer plant or a fund that contributes to further upgrades. I mean, there's any number of ways to do it.
For larger projects.
Yeah.
But for smaller projects, you're at the mercy of the system.
Yeah. Well, you have to plan. You have to be able to plan for the future.
Yeah.
Well, the usage is key, though. I mean, you know, the public's putting out money. Mm-hmm. And they're the public, the county, everybody, the federal government subsidizes, and they're putting out money for a sewer district. And then all of a sudden, because of an allocation, you can't use it efficiently because you're not getting the money until it's built. Mm-hmm. You know, so you might have maybe the big projects are covered through this fund. That's great. But smaller projects, we've had one just the other week come in. The guy said, hey, we'd love to put more units in, but we're restricted because the allocations have all been used. But they haven't. The district is at some lesser percentage of actual use. I mean, in theory, it's used, but those certificates of occupancy have never been issued. The monies have never been paid. The district is short that money because they never got it. And here's another guy that's saying, hey, we're going to build, and he can't get them. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good, efficient use of public funds. You know, it doesn't mean that somebody should have something taken away. But, you know, I think it's something we need to think about of use it or wait. Not use it or lose it, but use it or wait. If you're not ready to build, fine. You don't have to. But when you get ready to build, it may not be there for you. You may have to wait for expansion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. We probably should consider that sometime outside of conditional use number 1912.
Yes. Well, I asked for the patience of the chairman. Thank you for being so
glad we could strike that conversation.
But
no, you can leave it on, you know.
Only observation I'll make in regard to this application is that I think 1.88 is excessive. That's just my
I wouldn't want
thought.
To be the 0.88 person.
I think you do have the, as Mr. Robinson, I believe you just said, you have the ability to the right to mm-hmm. contest that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's been done and successfully
and,
too. So,
and
yeah.
If you've got two realtors and an assistant in there and that's all you've got, and you're not using any gray water, really, I mean, you know, it's less than one.
And whatever.
Yeah.
Mr. Bell will be having that conversation.
Yeah, very good. All right. Anyone else? Mr. Abbott, you have a question?
No questions.
Robertson?
No questions, thanks.
Okay. I have none either. I understand the application, so we'll ask you to take a seat nearby, and we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1912, William A. Bell and Kathleen M. Spiro Bell? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1912? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for 5 minutes to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.